Good morning, Church of Glenshaw Valley.
Good morning.
You doing well today?
Yes.
Excellent. Today's scripture is a warning against hypocrisy. This is not a warning about saying one thing and doing another, sort of the way we think of hypocrisy today. It is more a warning about acting or doing things to appear more religiously superior than others. He is not saying what the Pharisees were preaching and teaching in those times was wrong. What he was saying is how they acted superior to others and more righteous than others that was wrong. It is a similar warning from Jesus that appears in Matthew 6. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites. For they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and on the streets, corners, to be seen by others. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father in secret. Now, in this scripture, they talk about these little boxes that they wear on the shoulder. I have trouble with that word.
Phylacteries.
Pardon?
Phylacteries.
What he said. Jesus is referring to items that God instructed Israelites to wear to remind them of their relationship to God, as stated in Deuteronomy 8 and Numbers 38, respectively. God did not intend these items to be to show how religious one is, but how close you are to God. The bottom line is that everyone is equal in the eyes of God and that we should interact with each other with humility as we would with equals. Listen to Scripture, Matthew 23, 1 through 12. Then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, "The teachers of the law and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. So you must be careful to do everything they tell you, but do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach. They tie up heavy, cumbersome loads and put them on other people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them. Everything they do is done for people to see. They make their
phylacteries
wide and their tassels on their garments long. They love the place of honor at banquets and the most important seats in the synagogues. They love to be greeted and with respect in the marketplace and be called rabbi by others. But you are not to be called rabbi, for you have one teacher, and you are all brothers. And do not call one another father, for you have one father, and he is in heaven. Nor are you to be called instructors, for you have one instructor, the Messiah. The greatest among you will be your servant. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted." Bless the reading and hearing of our scripture.
Amen. Thank you, Bill. We have any people here today who are wearing masks? Got any hypocrites here today? Am I the only one willing to admit I'm a hypocrite? Tomorrow night is Halloween. We're getting ready to give out candy. Most of it probably store-bought, maybe some made cookies, different things. But in spite of the practice nowadays of Halloween and being called Devil's Night in many parts of the country, it's actually a religious tradition, at least for a long time, with religious overtones or origins. The word hallow in Halloween is the same word as in hallowed be thy name, or sacred be thy name. So it's, in some religious circles, it is known as All Saints Day. Our tradition, in which we think of ghosts and trick-or-treaters coming from the Celtic or the Celtic beliefs, the Celts believed that the soul of the departed roamed earth on one night during the fall or the autumn. And since it was a time of harvest, the people huddled together in front of the fireplaces, eating and telling stories. And Halloween evolved into a celebration of witches and ghouls and fiends, far removed from what it was at one time, the All Saints' Day. And I trust that your children will be careful when they go out trick-or-treating or go to the parties that they will go to tomorrow night. I know that you parents will make extra sure and certain that they will be. At least trick-or-treating in our community in the Glenshaw, Shaler, and around Pittsburgh is relatively safe, at least compared to Churchill, Manitoba, Canada. It's a small town off the shores of Hudson Bay in Canada. Manitoba is most famous for being populated by polar bears. They have the most polar bears in the world. They're called the polar bear capital of the world. The rules for trick-or-treating are quite strict. No polar bear costumes are allowed, and I think you can understand why, but also no solid white costumes, included ghost costumes, you know, the white sheets and we cut out the eyes. No white nurse uniforms, no bride dresses, and definitely no seal costumes. The reasons? Polar bears could show up at any time and eat these little children. To protect children going from door to door on Halloween night, game wardens are out on patrol with tranquilizer guns if any polar bears show up. And a helicopter does surveillance flying over, looking for polar bears. Police constables carry their shotguns to shoot in the air in case one comes by and to run it off. And noise is a big help. But the biggest thing to run the polar bears off are lights. So they park the ambulances and the patrol cars with their lights going and the fire trucks and the sirens all going to run off the polar bears. So you might thought you had a little bit to worry about going out trick-or-treating, but compared to Manitoba, Canada, I think we've got it pretty good. Your child's probably not going to be eaten. But since it is Halloween, some of us may be thinking about what kind of costume to wear. I know over the years that I've gone to Halloween parties, I've dressed sometimes in like a pirate, and one year I dressed like Moses, so I've done different kind of costumes. But many times we put on a literal mask that hides our faces, hides our identity, that people don't really know who we are. And Jesus was thinking about the same thing in the lesson today in Matthew's gospel, but he was not thinking about Halloween or wearing Halloween-type masks. He was thinking about the costumes and the masks that people put on in everyday life, especially the Pharisees, the religious leaders and teachers of his day and time. Jesus said about the teachers of the law and the Pharisees, they do not practice what they teach. How many times have we heard that? Have you ever run into someone like that who does not practice what they preach? Whether it be a preacher, literally, or a teacher, or a parent tells you to do something and you see them doing just the opposite. You remember the famous outlaw, Jesse James? We've watched many movies played by many different stars. Some of the movies good, some terrible. But it said that Jesse James killed a man in a bank robbery, and very shortly after that, he went to the nearby Baptist church as if nothing had happened. Then he killed another man, a bank cashier, and immediately joined the church choir. As one commentator reported, he liked Sundays. He liked robbing trains on Sundays. But he liked his church too. I believe that we could say about Jesse James that he did not practice what he preached. And I think we could say that about a lot of politicians. You may find that hard to believe, but let me give you one example. There's a story told of former President Theodore Roosevelt. During one of his election campaigns, a delegation came of citizens came to Roosevelt's home, and Roosevelt met them with his coat off and his sleeves rolled up, and he said, "Why don't we come down and go down to the barn, and you can watch me work while we talk about some political issues?" The delegation followed him to the barn, and Roosevelt picked up a pitchfork and looked around for the hay to pick, you know, to put up to the top, I don't know what you'd call it, the top loft. And he called out to his assistant, "John, where's all the hay?" He said, "Sorry, sir," John called from the hayloft. He said, "I ain't had time to toss it back down since you tossed it up when the Iowa delegation was here." Just showing off at a delegation, not real work. We would call that a photo op today, wouldn't we? Go paint a few brush strokes, get on TV, then go off somewhere in your limousine. The truth, all of us wear masks from time to time. Every single one of us, whether we admit it or not, or even think about it in these terms. On occasion, we all play the hypocrite. I'm conscious of it. I know and I admit as your pastor that I'm a hypocrite. Every time I talk about, and every time I preach and I talk about taking up the cross and following Jesus Christ, I'm confronted with the question of how much does it cost me to preach, to teach, to lead? How much does my faith cost me to serve the Master at the level that I need to be serving Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior and my Master? I think you understand that because it's true of you as well. The critics are right. The church is full of hypocrites. Every single church that's ever been founded from the beginning of time. And the more conscious you are of Christ's call, the more aware you must be of how inadequate our witness to the world is as Christians. In an interview in the magazine The Door, famed psychiatrist M. Scott Peck tells about the first time he went to see the Swiss psychiatrist Paul Tournay, one of the most influential Christians of the world at that time and still. Following Tournay's lecture, there was a time of question and dialogue when one of the reporters or one of the men stood up and asked Dr. Tournay, "What do you think about all the hypocrites in the churches today?" Stumbling over the English words, Tournay apologized and said he did not understand the meaning of the word hypocrite. Not all words translate from one language to another language so perfectly. Several people offered definitions. Phony, pretending to be something that you are not. Unauthentic, phony. And suddenly the doctor's eyes lit up and said, "Ah, hypocrite, now I understand. Say small. Yes, I am the hypocrite." The closer you are to Jesus, the more you must measure your life, not by other people's lives, but by the life of Jesus Christ. And that's where we get all befuddled and all mixed up, because we say, "Well, I'm as good as he or I'm as good as she." But that's not who we are to measure. Our standard is Jesus Christ. We cry out with Paul Tournay, "I am the hypocrite." And I guess that's why I kind of like this expression. If a hypocrite is standing between you and God, it just means that the hypocrite is closer to God than you are. Think about it. There's some truth to this expression that we're all hypocrites. We all wear a mask. Some people, however, take it to the extreme. This is what Jesus disliked about the Pharisees. We talk about wearing your religion on your sleeve. Well, the Pharisees literally wore their religion on their foreheads and on their arms. Literally. They wore phylacteries, little leather boxes that they got from an obscure Old Testament passage, and they put them up here and had Old Testament scriptures, because they didn't have New Testament, had Old Testament scriptures in the little boxes. So people could look at them and say, oh, look at them. They're so religious. They're wearing scriptures on their foreheads. And their tassels on their robes. Oh, they're so religious. Look how long they are. They're such religious people. But their only practical purpose was to show how religious and devout they were trying to pretend to be. Because common people like the shepherds and fishermen, regardless of how religious they were, they didn't do it. Meanwhile, the Pharisees oppressed the common people with their interpretation of the law. The Pharisees counted 613 laws that they wanted the people to keep in order to live lives that were pleasing to God. And by focusing on these 613 strict, very strict laws, the Pharisees neglected the weightier issues of love and justice. If I can just keep this law or keep this law, and no one could keep all 613 laws. No one. Impossible to do. And so this is what Christ meant when he said, they tie us up with heavy cumbersome loads and put them on the people's shoulders. But they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them or to help the people. And we all wear masks, but the Pharisees took the wearing of masks to the extreme. So if you work at looking more religious than you really are, talking about us today, then Jesus has some harsh words for each of us. However, there is something else that needs to be said before Halloween. We need to be careful about judging other people, by the masks that they wear. A little different perspective on wearing masks. Marilyn Hellenberg tells about a creature that appeared at her door one Halloween, as you're going to see creatures if you answer the door with candy this Halloween. She called it the scariest creature that she had ever seen. It was a rubber mask, of course, covering the young man's face and head with his twisted features, a pull-down mouth, and a bright red scar ripping down his jaw. And quickly, Marin dropped a couple of homemade cookies into the young man's sack, and he hurried and scurried away out into the night. And a couple of days later, the young paperboy came to collect the money due for the paper route. And he said, those sure were some good cookies that you made for Halloween. And you may have guessed it. He was the young man behind that mask. And Marilyn could hardly believe it. Darren, she said, is a real sweetheart of a young boy. Good-natured, polite, working to become an Eagle Scout. It made Marilyn wonder, could there be a loving child of God behind some of the ugly masks that we wear? That woman with the stringy, unwashed hair who sat behind us in church last week, might that be a sweet-natured child with a little self-esteem problem behind her unkempt disguise? That opinionated man who seems so cocky, is it possible there's a little boy behind his blustery camouflage, hoping his fear won't show? That pushy woman crowding in front of us at the post office, I wonder if the little girl in her has felt ignored for far too long. She said, there's a child in me too, someone that hurts. Thank God for those special people who care enough to look beyond the false faces that I wear sometimes. Those are wise words, I think, because I think we need to be careful about judging people from any perspective. Be careful about judging people by the masks they wear. For example, young people often put on masks by wearing and dressing in Gothic, and you think, oh, those are scary people, but they're not. Or piercings, or tattoos, or weird hair designs, or offbeat clothing, whatever it might be. Sometimes they're the nicest people in the world. And then you look at somebody with a double-breasted suit, or a Gucci handbag, and they're just the opposite. They're not so nice. They're cruel and mean. Be careful how you judge somebody on the outward appearance of how they look or how they dress, how much they weigh or how tall they are, whatever it might be. The Pharisees were wearing masks and they were pretending holiness that they did not possess. And who among us has not done the same thing? And regardless of the mask we wear, we cannot fool God. Regardless of what kind of mask we choose to put on, God knows exactly who we are. You can fool other people, but you cannot fool God, ever. God knows our hearts. God knows our priorities. I want to tell you this story in closing. According to Kenneth Gangland, each year in Basel, Switzerland, the good Protestant townspeople have a festival in which they don masks and go through the city doing things and going places they would never consider doing under normal circumstances. And the mask which veils their identity emboldens them to do certain things. One year, the Salvation Army, concerned about their abandonment of moral standards, put a sign up over the city which read, "God sees behind the mask." In this story, told about a high school concert a few years back, they had a substitute band director come in. And this young man, who's a trombonist, and they were getting ready to give a concert, and he wanted to go on a date. He didn't want to play the trombone. He just wanted to skip out, had a hot date. So he got a friend of his to fill in. The uniform would fit him. So he finally protested, and he finally said, "Okay, I'll do it." And the trombonist said, "All you've got to do is just watch the other four or the other three. When they slide, you just kind of slide. Just do what they do. No one's going to know because the other one's going to make enough noise. It's loud. You'll fit right in." So he was a little nervous, but he got in and he started doing it. And everything was going fine. Then he looked, because he could read music, and he looked down. He noticed that they called for four trombones to play a brief trombone quartet. So Joe waited until the part came, and he rose with the other trombonists, and then the substitute band leader pointed to them to play. They all stood up, they all took their trombones, and they all let out the slides. No sound. Every single one of them was a substitute. A friend had taught them in so they could go off and do something else. They were all false trombonists. Not a sound came forth. They were all pretenders. And that's what we don't want our church to be. We don't want our church to be all pretenders. We want some real music to come out of here. Some real Christian faith to emanate forth from the body of Christ here at Glenshaw Valley. This is a reminder of one thing that cannot be faked. It's our true heart and our true service to God. We can hide for a while. Loving service to others is something that cannot be faked. So if you're tired of wearing a mask, whatever kind of mask you may be wearing, start getting rid of it. If you have to take it off piece by piece, start doing it. And start living a life of authentic Christian faith. Give yourself to God. Give yourself to serving God's children. It's never too late to be authentic. It's never too late to take off the mask. May God bless you. Amen.